Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, because AmericanFreedomRadio.com has been down for, like, ages. Freaking ages. What the hell is going on? I don't know. But my show's still broadcasting. The board ops are still there. It's still running, other than the fact that nobody can listen in unless they're going to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I think it's kind of like the only place where you can listen to American Freedom Radio at the moment. I don't know if any of the other hosts have any players on their show. I don't know. It's not my job to run the network, although, you know, maybe I should sometimes. But anyway, my very special guest today is the wonderful, the indomitable, and the various other nice adjectives woman, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. Suzanne, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mr. Vinnie Eastwood.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Nelson Mandela died today. Oh. You never read his biography or anything? The Long Walk to Freedom?
No, I did. Oh, my God, I did not.
Oh, mate. This dude became a lawyer, all right? Now, if you're black and you're in South Africa in apartheid, becoming a lawyer is, like, impossible. And so after he becomes qualified, of course, he becomes a member of the African National Congress, the ANC, and goes about trying to get apartheid, which is, the racist regime of the South African government, get rid of. And of course, like everybody who tries to get rid of tyranny, it doesn't freaking work. So they resorted to terrorism, blowing up power pylons and stuff like that. That didn't work. So they resorted to blowing up people, you know, with, like, bombs and trash baskets and stuff like that. That didn't work. So they're like, okay, let's have big, massive demonstrations of people. And they all got shot in the back. That didn't work. Running away. You know, fighting for your freedom is a real pain in the ass, man. And on top of that, he spent 20 years on Robben Island, like South Africa's worst, like, notorious. It's like the Alcatraz of South Africa, right? Spent like 20 years there or something. And my brother was a really good waiter back in the day, and he got to actually serve Nelson Mandela, but they had some problems in the kitchen. And he said to him, "Oh, Mr. Mandela, I'm sorry, your food and what have you is coming soon. Would you like some more bread and water while you wait?" And Mr. Mandela looks at him and he says, "After 20 years of Robben Island, I think I've had enough of bread and water." Oh, yeah. A clever man, a great man, and here's the positive part of the story. A lot of people don't recognize, and this is something I think this is a big lesson for all truthers, is the resolution. Okay, they didn't take over South Africa. The blacks didn't take over South Africa, take it back from the white man, because they fought and died and so on and so forth. Yes, they did, but at the end of it, that wasn't the deciding factor. What was? Reconciliation. You know, the reason why the whites were so desperately clinging to power is because they believed that if they gave power back to the blacks, that they would wind up getting reprisals, right? Homes burned down, women and children dragged into the street and raped. This was a reality back then. This was what people were talking about and very afraid of. Oh my God, what if the blacks had power? And so Nelson Mandela and a number of other black leaders said to these guys, "Look, I'll tell you what. You're not going to beat us, okay? There's a hell of a lot more of us than there are of you. However, we're not going to use that as an excuse to just roll over on you, okay, and just to destroy you and get revenge and what have you for the decades and decades of institutionalized racism, where you beat the living hell out of all of our people and shoot us in the back while we're running away and enslave us and so on and so forth and force us to live in slums and whatnot, okay? We're not going to get any revenge for you on there. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the reins of power and you're going to be treated just like every other citizen, with respect and your property is going to be respected. Your person is going to be respected, and you're not going to get any of it damaged, taken away, or raped. Okay? That's it. That's our deal. You either give us power and get to maintain your, you know, security, or you don't give us power and it's going to wind up turning into a war, the blacks versus whites, and the blacks will win because we've got more people. Okay? So that's how you resolve a situation, I think. Peacefully. And this is a lesson, I believe, that should apply to the Rothschild banking cartel, the Rockefeller family, and various other world power brokers, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Henry Kissinger, George H.W. Bush, John Key, all of these really disgusting, horrific, racist, violent, murdering scumbags. Just tell them, look, there's more of us than there are of you. And even though you've been trepidation of like 100 years of theft and rape and murder of the people, both literal and figurative, we're going to let you be safe in your persons, safe in your property. You can go back and retire to your frickin' mansions. Just give us back the power that is rightfully ours. Or it's going to turn into a war. And we don't want a war. You don't want a war, because neither of us will probably survive it. Or, even if we do survive it, we'll have nothing that's survived along with us. No houses, no electricity, no running water, no nothing. It'll be a frickin' dark age. Do you want that? I don't. And I think, don't you think that's a brilliant idea, Suzanne? If the elite just kind of, you know, went belly up to a degree and just gave us the frickin' power that was rightfully owed.
You know, it's funny.
The Mandela Method.
What's funny to me is that the alternative movement has taken a drastic turn. Instead of using our power, our personal power, the power in numbers, the power of agreeing that we all agree that there are certain common enemies that we all have. We all have Monsanto as a common enemy. We all have our governmental leaders as a common enemy. We all have the banks as a common enemy. We are talking about a grandiose show of force instead of using our leverage, which is the fact that we outnumber them. Globally and individually in each sovereign nation, we outnumber the ones who are controlling us. And we sat down to a table and said, hey, exactly what they did. Would we have the ability to then get our sovereignty back without any bloodshed? I know that that idea is not popular nowadays in the alternative movement, but I think it's one that we seriously need to consider. Because it doesn't have to be bloodshed. We're not going to win. It's all going to be destroyed. And we don't want to die that way.
Yeah. I certainly don't want to die in a ditch somewhere. Arms and legs and head cut off in a drawstring bag and then have it ruled a suicide. I don't want that kind of thing to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to anybody. And I, you know what? I'm really starting to think about this seriously, that there is a group of people in the truth movement who are working for the government, working for the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, who are purposeful, disinfo, provocateur, evil, degenerate, betraying, infiltrator scum, right? And the problem is people don't know how to differentiate between somebody who's a psychopathic control freak in the employ of the government who talks about truth of topics and somebody who's genuine, empathic, caring, and intelligent who's a member of the truth movement, all right? People don't know the difference. And that's because we say the same words in the same way, generally. That's why it's so hard.
Sure. And, have a flavor for every type of belief system. Think about that. Everything has been co-opted. If you want to not conform to society by conforming to an alternate group, and you have a propensity toward vampires, there's a group for you. If you have a propensity toward religion or any type of religion, there's a group for you. If you want to believe in somebody who's claiming to channel another entity through them, there's a plethora of those guys too, and they come in all different flavors. We need to, oh my God, so drastically, I was talking about this on my show, we have to do our own research. I was watching a documentary last night with my husband, and when I went to go look up some of the information that they were talking about, I noticed that they were almost reading verbatim from the Wikipedia page where I went to look up this information. And that is an exposure of a CD. We have a huge problem, ladies and gentlemen, where information that is not credible and has no source and no basis in reality is being funneled into the alternative audience like a faucet running over water, like Niagara Falls. And it is being disseminated out and disseminated out and disseminated out to where the truth no longer is it's no longer effectual. It doesn't matter because the lie has become so big that everyone believes the lie. And no one knows what's really going on. No one's doing any research. The guys who are bringing you the research, you're trusting them to bring you credible research. And you have branded loyalty. And you think that because you listen to them every day or you go to their website every day that you know them. You've never had dinner at their house. You've never met their kids. You have never gone shopping with them or driven in a car. You can learn a lot about somebody. You take a road trip for an hour and you find out a lot about somebody when you're in the cab of a car. We have these ideas about people that are not true, about movements that are antithetical to what they claim to be, and we are disseminating their information, and it's possible, ladies and gentlemen, that what we know about what we know is not true. And you don't... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the thing is, people are so desperate to achieve critical mass that they'll join any movement that appears to be achieving it, okay? You can't achieve critical mass without the masses being able to think critically.
Absolutely.
Stop following people, for frack's sake. Seriously. I mean... Ladies and gentlemen, if you would become independent, become your own researcher, your own blogger, your own author, your own filmmaker, your own radio show host, or whatever that is preferable to me than you listening to this radio show 5 days a week. Honestly, no joke. If all 10,000 people that visited the website this month said, you know what, Frack Vinny, I'm gonna do my own radio show, I'm going to do my own blog, and I wound up in the poorhouse, but there were 10,000 new radio show hosts and bloggers and everything out there, I would retire happy. It's not going to happen, though, because you all got all these reasons to not do that, you know? Oh, I've got my job. Oh, I've got my kids. Oh, I've got this, that, and the other. You ain't going to have any of those for very long if you don't do something about the New World Order. Today! Fucking today! Okay, the situation is dire. It is desperate. You got infiltrators and scumbags are surrounding you at all points. Okay, your parliament, your police, your judiciary, everything is corrupt and full of scum. Okay, and people look at these problems as if they're arbitrary, as if oh somebody's going to do them. Somebody's in a position of authority to take care of that. You know, so I don't have to. There ain't nobody. Okay? If there was somebody who was going to do something about it, they would have done something about it right now, and they have a look. There ain't nothing being done. So, take some personal responsibility, go out, start exposing scumbaggery. Okay? Scumbaggery within and scumbaggery without. Scumbaggery is scumbaggery. Yeah. I think it was kind of an important realization that I just had there. It would be quite nice if all of us took some personal responsibility and exposed a bit of scumbaggery every day, you know? You know how some people say you've got to drink so many glasses of water a day, you have so many pieces of fruit every day? I say you've got to at least expose one bit of scumbaggery per day. All right? Just to keep yourself healthy and sane. Suzanne Posel is my very special guest,
And if there is any music coming in from the break, we'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand, and I wish you were here. It is nice, it is summery, we've got a corrupt judiciary, thug-like cops, it's just beautiful, you know, it's paradise. And my very special guest is Suzanne Posel, the lovely Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com and also RealGorillaMedia.com. And we've got a... Now, we were talking, I was getting a bit ranty back there. I think it might be because I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning editing yesterday's audio and video archives and what have you, and I kind of get a little bit effed off when I'm sleep-deprived. And I see everybody else out there really enjoying their life, having fun and what have you, relaxing, and then there's me up at 4 o'clock in the morning editing late into the night, pretty much every night of the week, busting my ass, trying to expose a little bit of scumbaggery. And it's not like I'm jealous of people who get to have time off. It's not like I regret the fact that I have to do all this work. And believe me, it's an obligation. I actually have to do this work, okay? Because, hey, name me one other New Zealander who's got a five-day-a-week radio show that talks about this kind of stuff. Nobody coming to mind? No? Okay, I have to do it then. You know, just that simple. And it works on grand scale as well as it does on the small scale. This is the same as true... for everybody, don't you think, Suzanne, if everybody kind of had a look at a problem that was around them and said, you know what, I can solve that problem. Nobody else is solving it. Maybe I should. Yes, you should. It's not a maybe.
Yes, you have an obligation to do what's right. Recently, I saw someone on Facebook talking about how healthcare is a right. No, it's an obligation to yourself to eat healthful organic food, to avoid vaccines, to use food as medicine, to avoid DNA altering chemicals in your food and drink, to be happy and smile periodically throughout the day. That is your duty to yourself so that you can be healthy and take care of others and do good by others. That is not something that is a constitutional right. You should love yourself enough to take care of yourself so that others can benefit from having you around.
Yeah.
I think it's the same. I think that's what we're talking about here, what we were talking about in the first segment. We, as a generation, are trying to push forth this movement, and we don't even care enough about ourselves to care about each other. And we have allowed ideas of community and caring and building up structures that benefit us as falling under predisposed labels and then saying that that's bad. Well, if everything is bad, and every time you have come up with an idea, somebody comes up with a negative so that you can't enact any ideas at all, then what are you supposed to do? You're doing exactly what everybody else is doing right now. You're sitting on social media pretending you have a life, disseminating information that's not even going to inspire one person to action. So nothing's ever going to change. You might as well just put that Big Mac in your mouth and start drinking the Diet Coke and start watching whatever the hell you want on television and stand in line for 4 hours to get the latest cell phone so you can put your fingerprint into the NSA database and just get over it. Yeah. Or do something.
Yeah. You've got a choice. It's either slow suicide, right, or a long, hard walk to freedom. Make a choice.
Right, like what they did in South Africa, what you were describing. We can either, you know, if you don't like being poisoned and you know that the GMO is poisoning you, then stop eating it, period. If a bunch of people stop eating it, they're not going to be able to sell it. They're going to go out of business. We need to get these people to a point where they are within our grasp. We need to bring them down from their lofty position and bring them to their knees so we can take a breath and restructure ourselves to bring to the table an alternate reality. Because this is just one version of a monetary system. This is just one version of a government. This is just one version of an international group like the UN. These are just one version of all of these things. And you and I did not get a choice, and our parents didn't get a choice when all of these structures were created. So if we just create a structure that we all agree on, then what they're doing becomes inconsequential.
Yeah.
And nobody has to die.
Well, and you don't even have to agree on it, just as long as you're not hurting or damaging people. You know, that's pretty straightforward, I would have thought. Because I found that democracy, I had Santos Bonacci on the show yesterday, democracy is kind of translates in the phonetic as demon crazy. And I was just thinking, whoa, it's actually quite profound, isn't it? Because you have a look at all the countries that are currently dominated by democracies, and there's demons who are crazy at the helm, you know? And I'm not talking necessarily literal demons, like just people who have that same motivation of a demon, all right? Evil, cruel, manipulative, that kind of thing. That's what democracy gives you, right? That's why I'm really not. Did America bring democracy to Iraq? I forget. As far as I know, they just bought.
They did. Yeah. Democracy is mob rule. They absolutely brought democracy to everywhere they go. They bring mob rule in because that is what keeps people locked in their houses and afraid to step out and afraid to say anything.
Yeah, and if you accomplish it via war, it's called depleted democracy, all right? Because that's how much uranium you need to use. it's one of those frustrating elements is that, you know, you have a look at, say, just how many problems there are in society. So it goes in these big stages. Okay, first of all, there's the problems in yourself. Are you healthy? Are you informed? If you're not healthy and you're not informed, it's not a good baseline to go out there. I mean, me personally, I'm informed, but I'm not that healthy. I'm working on my health. I'm trying, but it's really, really hard, isn't it? You know, you start to realize how many addictions that you have to the poison food, the sugar, and what have you, and it's quite disgusting. And despite the fact that your brain knows that it's bad for you, it also tells you that, oh, I need it. And the same is true of your government. Although your brain knows that you don't want it, that it's going to kill you, you're addicted to it. Aren't you, ladies and gentlemen? You're addicted to somebody else saying that they're going to come along and save you. Somebody's going to solve your problem. Somebody's going to run everything absolutely perfectly. That is a delusion. A delusion that has been implanted in our minds to stop us from being healthy and being informed and taking some responsibility to solve all of these really big, eclectic, evil, terrible problems ourselves. Once you do start solving problems yourself, you get empowered because you realise just how easy it is. And you wonder why you didn't purge this toxicity from your system in the first place.
That is exactly... When I spent time in Colorado, we didn't have access to fast food restaurants or anything like that. And when we moved to Oregon, I think it was the second night we were there, we went and ordered pizza. And I got so sick because I hadn't eaten that food in 5 years. I'd only eaten food that came from local farmers, meat and cheese and vegetables that were grown on the farm. My body immediately rejected it, okay? I sat at the toilet because my body knew that it was poison. And we need to be conscious of these things and make a concerted effort to decide not to participate. And if you don't feel comfortable going into a crowd and joining a protest, that's fine. Every single day of your life can be a protest, as long as you vote with your dollars and facilitate community. You're going to find that you have friends, that we help each other out, that help out your neighbors who have their own businesses and keep them from going under. And go to the city council meetings and say no to the Agenda 21 and say no to the new Walmart being put in. And write letters and keep writing letters to these people that you allegedly elected into office and make their life miserable until they do something about this or leave so we can put somebody else in there who will actually do what we want.
Yeah. Harassment does work, okay, especially if you're a politician. Politicians are people too, and they feel stress, they feel obligation in many of the same ways that we all do. The problem is, we're not focused on stressing them out. We're not focused on getting them to change their ways. We're not offering them consequence, right? If there was a consequence to being a corrupt scumbag, like, I don't know, going to jail, for example, you don't go to jail if you're corrupt anymore, all right? You get promoted. You become the president. All right? That's the way the world works currently. Why does it work that way? Because the people have abdicated all of their power over to the corrupt, simply put.
And because we don't want to participate in our own sovereignty, because like you said, we're waiting for somebody else to do it. It's never going to change. It's never going to change. And they don't have to roll out martial law, ladies and gentlemen. You're complying. You're out there disseminating information and talking about it and getting in groups and buying their smartphones and doing all the things that they need to do to track and trace you. They're rolling out the police state. The police state is fine. It controls you. You're not a threat to them. You're not a threat to the establishment. Why would they need to roll out martial law? They're only going to roll out martial law if we actually become a threat. We have to be serious and take them to the table and say, look, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to comply. And there's more of us than there are of you. So what do you want? Because you can kill the first wave and the second wave and the third wave, but our children are going to keep fighting and our grandchildren are good. How long do you want to take this? How far do you want to go? And like Vinny said, they are human beings too. They want the path of least resistance. And the path of least resistance is to keep you tethered to your social media, disengaged from your actual life, and not doing a damn thing to change it. And that's where we are right now.
Yeah. And the thing is, you can change it, you know, and I see so many people who are hopeless, all right? Not I think they're hopeless. They think they're hopeless. They say, oh, there's no hope. There's nothing we can do. The Freemason whistleblower, James Wright, for example. He's had many attempts on his life. He gets followed. He's had these laser targeters and things like that pointed into bedrooms where he was supposed to be staying, and his family told him about that and all of that kind of stuff, scaring the bejesus out of him. But he realized that even though all of this stuff is going on, there's something that doesn't want him dead. Something that wants him to survive. Something that keeps him alive so that he can keep doing God's work. Okay? And somebody said on a Skype thread the other day, oh, if the Freemasons really wanted him dead, he'd be dead already. And I said, well, on the same token, if God wanted him to be alive, he would stay alive, wouldn't he? And I'm not really a religious guy. I'm not really overly spiritual. I talk about reality. And I've come up with the conclusion that if you simply believe in a higher entity, in a higher power, for some reason, higher powers come out and support your ass when you're down in the dumps. Not necessarily because they really exist, but because your mind makes it real. It's a thing called faith, right? I remember when I got busted, I was just thinking about this yesterday, Suzanne. You know, it's been 10 years since I had my entire life destroyed by the cops when I was arrested down in Dunedin with about 13 grams of cannabis. Okay, I was going to go to jail for up to 8 years for a first offense. 13 grams. They treat it more seriously than manslaughter. Oh, selling. No, I'm not kidding. And I remember this one time I was trying to get home. I just had to walk up these stairs, a path in order to get to my house. And my legs started giving out on me, you know, because I was just so in so much pain, just incredible trauma that I'd suffered. My entire reality was collapsing in on me. I used to think you could trust police, and then I realized that they're all liars and thieves and scum. And this was something that called me to just go, God, please help me. God, please give me the strength to get up these stairs. The strength was given to me. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that broadcasts live from an island in the sun, and it's Fukushima irradiated New Zealand. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, 5 days a week. Hey, look, I do understand that sometimes I appear very unprofessional. Okay, I admit that. Right, and here's why I do it deliberately, because the world's currently run by professionals. And it's not working out too well, okay? I don't know about you, Suzanne, but I don't like following rules. I like creating things. I like not taking no for an answer. You see, you know what I'm saying? And it is one of the personality traits of an entrepreneur, is that we just can't leave well enough alone, you know? It's like, oh, okay, it's good enough now. You know, we've exposed enough scumbaggery for a lifetime. We'll just go back to bed and get a slave job and what? No, sorry, just doesn't work. My brain just doesn't work that way. It's got to be bigger. It's got to be better. It's got to be perfected at all times. And I can assure you, something about perfection, a lot of people don't realize, it is unobtainable, right? It's a very, very rare element, about as rare as unobtainium. You can't actually achieve it, okay? You're not supposed to achieve perfection, okay? Because once you achieve perfection, you think that your job is done and you give up. That's not a bright move, bro. I don't think so. You always got to keep constantly reinventing, perfecting everything that you do in your life. If not,
You're going to lapse into mediocrity and you'll become everything that you hate. That's not worth it, I don't think. Suzanne Posel is my very special guest. Welcome back.
Hello. I was now, I wanted to comment on that. I was just, every time I tried to like join a group, it was always a little askew. I didn't do things quite like everybody else did. And then I've realized over the years, it's because I don't conform very easily. Any of the predisposed groups that I've joined because I had teenaged angst never really fit. I didn't do things right. I didn't wear the clothes right or do my hair right or listen to the right music. I just realized that I don't conform very easily. And so the idea that I'm looking into the news and bringing you information that you might have missed or more documents so you can understand what's going on and what the point of it is. Like with this Mexican radioactive material that was stolen, a truck was stolen in Mexico, and it had radioactive waste. And all of a sudden, they started talking about dirty bombs in the news. And I realized that just this past Sunday on State of the Union, Dianne Feinstein was talking about terrorists having bombs, very big bombs, truck bombs. And they're talking about how this material could be used to create a dirty bomb. And the UN is talking about how dangerous this is if it gets in the wrong hands because it can be used to make a dirty bomb. And the Oklahoma City bomb was considered a dirty bomb. And the DHS is purchasing enough explosives to create another dirty bomb, Murrow Building, if they want to. And yet we have to be afraid. Here's an instance where a truck was stolen, and the theft of this truck becomes inconsequential because the materials become the focal point and what they could do with it. And that's how they insidiously instill in your mind, plant that little seed that, oh my God, the terrorists are going to come and get me. Because it goes from a truck being stolen with radioactive material to, oh my God, dirty bombs, terrorist, Al-Qaeda, be afraid. And I wrote
and
that article.
The reality is, it's just some dude who stole the truck, you know?
Exactly. And I wrote that article explaining to people where this origin comes from. It's a long time ago. It's a look at the 2009 right-wing extremism report. Look at all these reports that have happened since then from West Point that come out that say that certain people are terrorists and that we have to be afraid because they're being radicalized by Al-Qaeda. The same fake terrorist organization that we created a couple of decades ago are radicalizing people that are good people, former servicemen and women who want to do right, who did right by their country. And just want to have that promise that they were given, which is why they went and fought for it in the beginning, regardless of whether or not they realized somewhere down the line that they were had.
Yeah, I think there was a great quote by a Marine. He might have been a Ranger, I forget. But he says, "We're not here to fight terrorism. The reality is I'm the terrorist and these people are my victims."
Yes, absolutely. It's a sad day when
just
you realize that.
Can you fathom, Suzanne, killing somebody? Like actually being ordered to and then just killing somebody on reflex. Let's say it's somebody perfectly innocent, like a child playing ball in the street. And you kill them and you watch the blood just cascade all over the street. And you kind of sort of step back and you realize, oh my God, I just murdered a child. And I just have to clean up the bullet casings and keep going. And people don't realize just what kind of a trauma being part of the machine can make it, you know? I mean, you have a look at anybody who's a government employee these days, there's a reason why none of them care or appear to care, is because if they did, they wouldn't be in that job for very long, right? Caring is the antithesis of the system. If you go into the system and you say, oh, I'm going to change the system from within, I really care about people, you won't care about them for long, or you're going to wind up being fired or wind up quitting because the trauma will be that much. You won't be able to take it. Okay, it's the same reason why I can't work anymore. I can't take that trauma. I can't take being told what to do. I can't take being having to get out of bed real early in the morning and go off and to meet a whole bunch of people that I don't know and I don't care about who I have a fear of rejection against. No. That sucks, man. It's terrible. And my trauma is great for me. However, I understand that it is minuscule by comparison to some of the servicemen and women. Ergo, the betrayal for them is far more significant than the betrayal you or I have ever felt. How do you reconcile that? By going to the Veterans Administration, doping yourself up on pharmaceutical drugs so that you don't care. You don't care so much that you overdose and you wind up going on a shooting rampage and get used by the government as an agenda to take people's guns and their right to defend themselves away from them.
Yes, that is how it works. And it takes such a long time for that to happen that along the way, nobody notices the signs and the symptoms of what is happening so that it comes to fruition. They don't have to necessarily now at this point with all the pharmaceuticals and all the chemicals in our food and drink to plant so many patsies. They just wait for one of us to snap from
these drugs. Keep talking, I've got somebody at the door. Keep talking, I've got somebody at the door, I'll be right back.
All right. They wait for someone to snap, and then all of a sudden, they've got the situation that they need. They capitalize on that situation, and then the person is villainized. Their picture is all over the news. All this information comes out about what a bad person they were, and how we need more controls, more pharmaceuticals, more legislation in order to control the public. When the entire process bred this scenario from day one, it was the only logical outcome. And part of this is our continued participation in this entire matter. When every act of participation is an act of the system and continuing the incremental tyranny of police state in our lives, the things that we hate every time we participate, whether it's a huge participation or a little small one, we are pushing forward that agenda.
Yeah. Well, just think about this. What Dianne Feinstein said, was she the one who said, if you see something, say somebody, or was that Janet Napolitano?
Napolitano.
Okay. I must have gotten that wrong in the previous segments. But, if you see something, say something. And here's why. If you don't say something, something bad will happen, and you'll feel guilty about it, and feel that, oh, I wish I should have said something. Strike that, reverse it. Instead of doing what the government wants, if you see some sort of suspicious activity, like, I don't know, a family having fun with their children at a park, and you go, oh my God, that's just so bad, and what have you, there's somebody actually raising their kids properly, that makes me feel bad about myself because I'm a useless piece of crap. I'm going to go call the cops on them. I'm going to get a Viper team out here. No, don't do that. Do the direct opposite. All right. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show's now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. This is the role of this radio show. It is part of your truth of diet, okay? I recommend that you listen to other radio show hosts who are perhaps more inclined towards study and information, like Suzanne Posel's lovely broadcast, Hardline, with Suzanne Posel, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 3 till 5 p.m. Pacific time. No, actually, it's 3 till 5 p.m. Central time, 1 till 3 Pacific. And you can check out the archives of that at OccupyCorporatism.com, can't you? /Hardline or...
Yes, there's a YouTube channel. So if you missed it, we turn it into a YouTube video so you can watch it there.
Oh, that's very nice. Okay. Now, it's also, it's a lot of work, and people don't actually realize just how much work goes into it. I mean, the night before last, I was up till 6 o'clock in the morning. I got to see the sunrise because I was up so late working. Last night, I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning, up working. All right. And I only do a 2 hour radio show a day. Okay. That's assuming that's the only show that I do that day. And I've also got a whole bunch of other radio shows that I go on. And public meetings. I've got a shockingly large quantity, just like a stack of hard drives full of public meetings. I think there's about 3 or 4 or 5 of them maybe that I haven't edited yet, you know, because I've just been too freaking busy, which will change, hopefully, if I get my new computer. And that's a big if. I need you, ladies and gentlemen, to help me get that computer by giving me $300. All right, here's why. I spent, like, more money than I had on this computer. I had a big donation come in from a very generous listener named James, and the problem was by the time that cash got to me, the computer that was a really good deal that we were going to get in the first place was already sold. So there was nothing else comparable. So I decided to shell out an extra few $100 that I received in donations in order to pay the excess for this new computer, and it wound up costing me like well over $2,000, including postage of like $600 or something, including like taxes that you got to pay to the US government in order to export something that's worth more than a couple of $100. You see what I'm saying? And then once it gets here to New Zealand, after paying all of that, then customs gives me a ring and says, hey, we've got this computer here, now you need to sign this form, give us your passport details and such and blah blah blah, and you have to pay 15% tax on this thing that you've already paid an exorbitant amount to get shipped, to pay the tax in order to get it exported, and then now you have to pay tax again in order to import it. And the price tag on that is $300. So if and until that is paid, and I don't have the money because I just spent all the last of it on trying to buy this freaking computer, so now I'm dry, and so I've got a computer being held hostage by customs. Until somebody sees fit to send $300 my way, and so I can pay off these extortionist hostage takers. Like, you just imagine, you know, holding up my Mac with a copy of today's paper with like I don't know, a magnet pointed at it, at its hard drive or something like that.
Give us the money, or we will erase it.
Yeah, so please. So please, if you're listening to this broadcast, I desperately need that computer, and I need it like today. All right, in fact, I've needed it for months and months and months. But as soon as I get it, mate, it's going to make my work a hell of a lot easier, because this computer that I'm working right now is big, it's beefy, it's fast, and what have you. But it's not what I need. I need something even better. In fact, I just need a separate computer as well, so I can do two things at once. That would be beautiful. So go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, donate today, preferably through the Kiwi Bank account, right? Because that money gets in there instantly, whereas PayPal, it takes nearly a working week to transfer. So if you could help me out in that way, ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you, you'll see a hell of a lot more work coming out of me. Like I said, I'm normally up till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, or whatever, editing this stuff. I should be able to cut that time down rather significantly if I have two computers to work from. That way, if one's importing footage or processing a video, I can actually just switch to the other computer and continue doing the audio archiving and the website updating and the social media plastering and stuff that I do when I've got the opportunity. So please, please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. If you've got 300 on you, please donate that. And if even more money comes in than what I'm expecting, all the more better, because I'm broke either way. I just paid my rent and the bank accounts are down to like pretty much nothing. I need my new computer and I need my rent paid. So please donate today. And thank you so much for those of you who do. It's very humbling, actually. And I was just thinking how grateful I am to all this support. And it's just, I've had so many conversations with the listeners who are donators on like email, Facebook, Skype, phone calls, that kind of thing. And the thing that I notice is common about you all of you people that donate, is your salt of the earth characters, right? The kind of people that you can actually vibe with, the kind of people you can actually sit around and have a few drinks with, the kind of people you could go around to their house and have dinner with them and their kids and that sort of thing. Honourable, decent, good-natured, good-humoured, well-adjusted people. The fact that that kind of person is who is motivated to donate to me is extraordinary to me. It's very, very humbling, as I say. So thank you very much, all of you, for all your support over these many, many years that I've been exposing scumbaggery, because I couldn't really do it without all that support. You know, this show just wouldn't exist. I don't know what I'd do, honestly. I've put all my eggs in one basket. It's kind of, I'm a bit of a basket case, I guess. Suzanne Posel is my very special guest from OccupyCorporatism.com. Now, the problem with terrorism is that it doesn't exist, okay? I said only, not that it doesn't exist. Technically, it does exist because it's a system of government. No, I'm not joking, ladies and gentlemen. Go to the dictionary, okay? If you've got a Google or something like that, Google definition. Terrorism, a system of government that uses threats and intimidation in order to get the people to do what it wants. Whoa. That's called a terrorist state. Terrorism is a form of government. The form of government which we are currently ruled by, in my opinion. All right. People say, oh, no, Vinny, the government doesn't intimidate and threaten people. Really? Do you pay taxes? Well, yeah, but... Did you volunteer to pay those taxes? Well, no, I didn't. Did you by chance ask them, can I, you know, opt out of paying these taxes that I never volunteered for? No, I didn't. Well, that's because you're intimidated by them, because if you stop paying those fraudulent extortion fees to the government, they'll come and take a big wet bite out of your ass. Okay, you go to jail. You get persecuted, prosecuted, the whole nine yards. You're a slave. Okay, you're a slave. It's just that simple. As Mark Passio said, statism is slavery. If you have a state that intimidates people and gets them to do stuff and what have you against their will, it's a terrorist state, and you are a slave of that terrorist state. Okay. Here's how. A real slave has 100% of the product of their labor given to somebody else. A semi-slave who doesn't realize they're a slave gives 50% of their labor forced without their consent, 30% of their labor forced without consent through taxation and what have you, which you can't get out of. Huh? You're still a slave. The thing that is the commonality of the slave is not the percentage of the income that is taken off you by force without you having any recompense for it. It's the fact that you don't have a choice. That's why we're slaves. It's pretty straightforward when you think about it in those terms. And modern serfdom, modern slavery, has become the function of debt. Debt is the methodology by which we can all be sold into slavery without even knowing about it. And I don't know, Suzanne, what's the US debt clock up to now? You know, there's the public debt clock.
17 trillion.
See, that's the public debt clock. And if you actually had like a real debt clock, it'd have to be like 10 times as wide, you know, like to fit all those extra digits for quadrillions and what have you, because there is so, so much unbelievable debt. I mean, seriously, try this in a room full of people, like at a party or something. Hey, everybody, put your hands up if you don't have any debt. You see like one fist in the air. All right, get him. He doesn't have any debt. He must be free.
Get him a credit card. Give him a cell phone.
Yeah. You know, he has to text and park, motherfucker.
Offer him a loan. Give him a loyalty card, 5% off.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm in debt at this point in time. I haven't really been able to pay it off for like the last 6 years because I'm an activist, you know? Activists paying off their debts with money that they earn.
You're paying off debt that doesn't exist with money that isn't real. Think about that one.
Yeah, it's a game of Monopoly, isn't it? The problem is, in this game of Monopoly, people do get evicted. People do lose their homes. People do lose their jobs. People do lose their lives. All right?
Unless they go and get some friends and sit out on the front lawn and block the foreclosure. Unless they seek out the foreclosure, there's a small knit group of attorneys across the country who are fighting foreclosures and winning and setting precedent in their state to then be used by other attorneys in other state as secondary sources of law, which is, you know, that's your right. So as long as we are resisting, no, absolutely, but we're not. How many times have you heard about a foreclosure and you didn't even think to get in your car and get your friends in the car instead of going shopping to go sit out in the front lawn and make sure that grandma doesn't lose her house? Her husband just died a year ago. Or this family of five don't lose their house who have been so wonderful in the neighborhood. You're a sitting duck too. Are you a homeowner? Do you rent? You're either one or the other. And guess what? Everything's mortgaged. So if you're living in a complex and they lose their mortgage, guess what? Everybody moves out. If you're renting a home from someone, everybody moves out. If you lose your home, everybody moves out until we don't comply, until we stop complying. We say, no, the mortgage was fraudulent. The agreement was fraudulent. The way in which it was processed through the MERS system was completely fraudulent. No, you can't take this. We held up our contractual end of the agreement. You broke this contract. That means that by default, I own the property. It's mine.
Yeah. Hey, there's an awful lot of solutions, and I found that this is actually the great part about the system, is that the elite are a bunch of liars and cheats. Okay. So they've figured out a system whereby they can lie to everybody and cheat everybody and nobody will realize that there was a lie in the first place. If you find out what the lie is, then you can cheat the elite. In fact, that'd be a great website, don't you think, Suzanne? A website Yes. Where you compile all the ways to get out of your taxes, your foreclosures, called cheattheelite.com.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. Every way that we can be civil disobedience, if I can conjugate it that way, we should be. This is not conducive in America to a constitutional republic. And any country that has a constitution, it has foundations. And so it should be returned to those moral foundations that help the people.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I was thinking to myself yesterday, you know what the problem with the United States is? It's not its constitution. It's the fact that it's not being followed.
Yes, that is the problem. It's sitting there in a glass case in a flipping museum, and people are looking at it. They can't read it because it's written in cursive, and we don't teach cursive in the classrooms anymore. But it's sitting there like it's a flipping relic, and it's alive. It's not a dead document.
Mm. Well, I think that wants me to that makes me want to utter quite a few cursives, but you know, I'll leave that to the un-FCC regulated radio shows that I'm on.
But our idea of what we have is so far removed from what we the potential that's sitting in that glass case that was already written out, that has every natural right covered, that makes no differential between what is infringement and what is not, and exactly what you have the right to do, and it's amendable. So you can change it as you go along. Oh, the Constitution is old and it was written in 1776 and it doesn't apply to our new technological age. Then we have the ability to put amendments in there. We can change it. We can allow it to grow with our society.
Yeah. So long as you keep to the core principles, okay? It's the interpretation of the Constitution where the United States has gone awry. Those who have a conservative interpretation of the Constitution just claim that they're conservative when the reality is they actually have a very liberal interpretation of the Constitution. This is the reason why it has been subverted. This is the reason why so many amendments have been changed and so on and so forth. Technically, all of those rights and everything that you're supposed to have as an individual citizen in a constitutional republic are still there, if only you would claim them back as your right. We'll be right back.
In the obsidian sky. We're marooned on a small island in an endless sea, confined to a tiny spit of sand, unable to escape. But tonight, on this small planet, on Earth, we're going to rock civilization.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from a tiny spit of sand in an endless sea unable to escape. It's called New Zealand. My very special guest is Suzanne Posel, my partner in these thought crimes that we're doing. The thought is freedom and it is a crime. You know, you have a look at society and it's everything that the way it's supposed to be. Like if you were a moral person, okay, if you had ethics, empathy, that kind of thing, and you have a look at every single current establishment in society, you would see that it's debased and completely the opposite of anything a moral or ethical person would set up or would stand for. Okay, that's the gravity of the situation that we're dealing with. We've got enough people to solve all of these problems. If only they would get off their asses and freaking solve them. Okay? I'm sick of people with their apathy. Okay? Oh, it's too late. You know, the New World Order's got all their apparatus in place. And blah, blah, blah. They just kill me if I come out and talk to you. Really? How come I'm still alive? How come Suzanne Posel's still alive? How come all of us in the truth movement, pretty much, are still alive? Okay? It's because you're giving the elite too much freaking credit. Okay? They're not all-powerful. They're not omniscient. They're not omnipotent. We are the ones with the real power, okay? And the elite have made a business out of preventing you from recognizing it. It's just that simple.
That is exactly it. No, that is exactly it. That is the man behind the curtain. In the Grand Wizard of Oz, okay? That is the ultimate truth. That is the 33rd degree, whatever. That is the eye, all-seeing eye on the pyramid. They have convinced you of things that are not true. and they have convinced you on any conceivable level that you would ingest information. On any conceivable level. It's all fake. All of it. It's all fake. The only thing that's real is what you know, and you can only know something unless you've experienced it for yourself. And by proxy, you can do that by doing the research yourself and stop believing what you hear and only putting your faith in what you know so you can apply it and be wise and be good stewards of the freedom and the sovereignty that you have, because you're giving it away right now. No matter what camp, group you belong to, no matter whether or not you have a tinfoil hat on or not, it doesn't matter. Whatever label you gave yourself or they gave you doesn't matter. Everyone is part of a group. It's groupthink. And it is the antithesis of sovereignty and individuality. And it is killing us individually, as a nation, globally. We need to stop it.
Just stop it, okay?
There is one word that you've got to have in your vocabulary and try to use as regularly as possible. Two letters. No. N-O, no. I'm not going to put up with your system. I'm not going to put up with this. I'm not going to subject myself to groupthink. I remember my sister once took me to a skeptics meeting, and they had this young, fresh out of university. Don't you love how when you come out of a education system that's designed to stop you from critically thinking while telling you that, oh, that's the only thing we teach you, you think that you know everything? And so they had this girl there who's fresh out of university saying how great GMOs are and how little risk there is associated with them. And I brought up the point that, hey, you do realize that they don't serve GMO food in the Monsanto cafeterias, right? And they're like, oh, okay, whatever. And this one woman there looks up on her smartphone, excuse me, this is a skeptics meeting, and look at the websites that are publishing this. It's before it's news.com, and so it's just not credible. And I was like, hold on a second. You're the skeptic society, and the only thing that you're not skeptical of is mainstream media. Does that strike you as insane? Does that strike you as a lack of critical thinking going on? Because that's what occurred to me. And guess what? My sister said, oh, Vinny, you got shot down. Yeah, I got shot down because people are so skeptical that they're only skeptical of things that aren't mainstream. That's freaking stupid.
It is the training. And it is so, we at this point, we can only recognize when the program is coming out. Okay, folks, you got to be vigilant and pay attention to yourself. Okay, pay attention when the programming is coming out of your mouth. When you see, I see a commercial for fast food. It looks good to me too. It makes me hungry. But that reminds me, I'm still under programs. I need to be vigilant and pay attention. And then at that point, at that one little moment in time, I can make a conscious decision not to participate. And guess what? I'm enacting my civil disobedience and I am not participating. And therefore, the machine is going down just in that one little person doing that one thing. Imagine if 300 million in the United States decided to do that. If you add up the amount of times that you comply with the system and multiply it by 300 million, which is roughly the amount of people in the United States, you will understand why nothing ever changes, okay? Write down a list of all the times that you comply with the system in every way, shape, or form, and add up all those times, and then multiply that by 300 million. And it's all these people doing all of these compliance. The system doesn't care. System doesn't care that information gets out because nobody's doing anything about it. System doesn't care that you're exposing scumbaggery because nobody's doing anything about it. System doesn't care that leak documents and video and they don't care because no one's doing anything about it because we're still programmed not to act on the information.
Yeah. The CIA figured out long ago that mind control is addictive, all right? Just think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Think about these fast foods and sugary drinks and whatever. Think about drugs and think about the addiction factor that is inherent within them, how difficult it is for people to get off them once they're on, okay? The government and its mind control agenda against you is also just as addictive, and it is just as difficult to wean yourself off of that really dangerous substance. Okay? It's really simple. Yeah, it's quite difficult, sure, but don't let the fact that something is difficult or challenging stop you from doing it. Okay? If I had, or if Suzanne had, taken the advice of all of these people out there who say, you're not good enough, you're not going to accomplish anything, nothing will ever work, the situation is hopeless, and whatnot, we wouldn't be in the positions we're in now to actually make a difference, whatever little difference that we're making. I know that I've saved people's lives with this radio show. I know that there are people who had lost all hope, who were incredibly depressed to the point where they were going to commit suicide, who stopped in their tracks because they listened to this radio broadcast. I know for a fact that I'm making a difference in people's lives. Had I listened to all of those people who told me otherwise, I wouldn't be. And that is the agenda, to separate you from the herd, okay? My agenda, at least. Separate you from the herd, realizing you are part of a herd mentality and that you've got to start thinking for yourself. Stop taking no for an answer. You're the one who's supposed to be giving no as the answer. Stop doing this, you know, you're causing more problems than you're solving. No, I'm not. Actually, you're wrong. It's not because I'm arrogant that I know that you're wrong. It's because the evidence says that you're wrong, and I'm right. I'm doing the right thing. There is no other option. If you're going to die, and this is my personal belief, Suzanne, is that this country, the United States, is infected with a horrific cancer, and this cancer is starting to infect the people themselves. You're not even part of the government, okay? And yet, still, it gets into your life, starts manifesting itself as health problems, as intellectual disability, as apathy, these kind of things. This is the cancer which must be purged. And if you do come to that realization, that very profound realization that you are addicted to mind control, that you are addicted to appealing to authority that has no morals or ethics, that you are addicted to the poisons that they put on the shelves for you to consume. Recognize your addiction. Recognize that you have a problem. Take the steps necessary in order to get yourself off, in order to get yourself out of that system. The very system itself is your enemy, and it requires your compliance in order to continue its operations.
And one way you can recognize this is you feel that adrenaline rush when you're intimidated by something you're reading. You get that adrenaline rush of fear mixed in with a little bit of excitement. It's the same rush you get when you go on a roller coaster or any kind of amusement ride where you are thrust into something and then released back into safety. When you get that rush, you know that this is a control mechanism and you are addicted to it because you're getting that fix. That's the fix. It's in your brain and all the neurons are firing and there's a lot of electrical activity going on and it looks like the 4th of July in your brain. That's when you know you need to put that down. Stop going to that website, unsubscribe to that YouTube channel, and don't look back.
Yep. On top of that, I feel that there are certain places where you can go that are actually essential for your survival. I think that this show is one of those places where it's kind of like essential listening. I'm not tooting my own trumpet here or whatever, but it's because of the unique perspective on the show that we have fun and we really kind of try to be open, I think. That's really what it's about, being totally open, totally honest, totally on the ball when it comes to scumbaggery. Okay, that's what this show is really about. If you can't have fun while you're exposing scumbaggery, you have a look at the archives pages at the Vinnie Eastwood Show .com, for instance, and you have a look and you scroll down, you'll see smiling faces, laughter, joy, while we're talking about how we're getting exterminated. Okay, it's the irony there that I think is really, really essential for all of us to sort of get into the vibe with, all right? Dark humor is absolutely necessary in a dark world to prevent yourself from being overcome by that darkness. This is the thing that I recognized earlier on when I was listening to radio show hosts who were always yelling, screaming, ranting, making me afraid, making me go into a fetal position and what have you. That stuff's good because it gets you motivated, it gets you informed in the first place, but it's good only if it's supplemented with this show, the Vinnie Eastwood Show, to help you deal with it, right? There's no point getting apathetic and going insane because you're not going to accomplish anything, are you? You're certainly not going to free your country if you can't have a few laughs about the fact that you're being taken over by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. I don't think so. You know, maintain your sanity. And that will be the way that you will be able to take the fight to the insane system. You have to have an antithesis to the system as your tool belt in order to take it on. Toe-to-toe, face-to-face, no compromise, no surrender, because you have all of the tools, all of the power, you have all of the skills that you need already in order to be the antithesis to the system. And it's basically like giving up and allowing the system to exist if you do otherwise. You know, you get kind of frustrated sometimes, sleep deprived, what have you. Somebody told me, Vinny, you need to take some time off. You need to get proper sleep. And I was like, hold on a second. The Truth Movement of New Zealand needs me to do my job, no matter how hard it is for me. It's got to be done because nobody else is doing it. And that's pretty much the end of the story, you know? What's more important, the entirety of the Truth Movement of New Zealand having some kind of representation online to expose its scumbaggery? Or is it more important that I get a few extra hours of sleep a night? I think I've made the right decision here. We'll be right back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the final segment. It is the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. I can't believe that we're almost to the end of the broadcast here, Suzanne. It's been a very... It's been an essential listening show. All right. Every now and again, we don't really cover a whole lot of material and what have you, but we just try to go through and process who we are and what we're doing and why. Why? Why is it that we're doing this? For me, for my part, it feels like I don't really have a choice. You know, it's like, okay, try and save humanity and prevent everybody from getting exterminated and enslaved, or participate in my own extermination and enslavement. It's not much of a choice. Hey, we can hear you guys in the background there at the board there. You might want to mute your microphones. So the element here is finding what it is you really love, what it is your natural talent or skill is. Because often who was it that said yesterday? Oh, you go to university, you pay a shockingly large amount of money, and then you wind up getting skills which are only useful for one thing, and you have to make that decision when you're like 17 or 18 years old, what skills you want for the rest of your life to be permanently stuck in the rut. Frank that. Retool, man. Honestly, 99%. Now, you know what? I'm just going to go around and say it. 100% of the things that I learned in high school and university were completely irrelevant. They didn't freaking matter. One iota. So only once I got busted by the cops that I started realizing something was wrong, that I started watching all those documentaries, that is where my valuable knowledge came from. And this is where yours probably came from as well, listening to shows like this, watching documentaries, and what have you. All of the education that you currently think was of some value, generally, in a lot of cases, turns out to be completely freaking useless. And that's the agenda, to get you to spend all of your time, all of your effort, and all of your money, so that you become a debt slave, into educating yourself for things for a future that no longer exists. Stop complying. For Frank's sake, stop complying. I implore you. There is a whole world of knowledge out there, a whole world of different career opportunities and things like that which don't currently exist, that need to be created by creative, by diligent, by incredibly intelligent people. These things can be brought into existence if only we would will it, if only we would believe in ourselves enough to tell everybody else that thinks that we can't do it, thinks that it's not possible, thinks that it's not logical, that it's irrational, that we should just get education and get a job and be a slave. You can actually tell all those people, frack you! Authoritarian trash. I'm going to wipe my bottom with your hair if you could think that's going to happen, so you can walk around town smelling like Shiite Muslim. All right. Don't have any respect for people who don't have any respect for you, okay? Respect is a two-way street. Don't hang around with people who discourage you like that. There's a problem a lot of truthers have got, and I've got to tell you, if you've got friends that are not currently woken up, you know, you're really going to have to just stop calling them again. That sounds really sad. Sounds really harsh. But if they're interested, they'll continue to call you. They won't just, you know, demonize you as a conspiracy theorist and force you to change the frickin' topic. Find new friends. There are 7 billion people on this planet. Stop wasting your fracking time and your fracking life with people who do not encourage you, inspire you, or advance you down the path to betterment.
that. Oh my God. The idea that that is such a foreign concept to people. Our self-esteem as a global society is so far down the toilet that we allow abuse. We allow ourselves to be abused by everyone and everything around us. And we go, oh, hey, well, you know, you don't. Oh, okay, maybe they were having a bad day, or, oh, you know, that's how the cable company is, or psh, what am I going to do? Write them a letter. They'll never give me back my money. I'll just walk away. Oh, well, you know how he gets, you know, before he gets his beer in him, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, we are abused. We have a global Stockholm syndrome going on. We allow this to happen. We don't love ourselves enough to say no. And because of that, it continues. And you can learn about as much as you want. You can learn about every single secret society. You can learn about the guy who invented the words secret and society and how he's connected to all the secret societies. You can do that till the cows come home. And as long as you're sitting there learning all this information in your box is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, because that's Agenda 21 crowding you in and boxing you in. And everything's going to change. And RFID chipping and surveillance is the norm. And your kids don't listen to you at all because they don't have to, and they report you because they love the state so much.
Yeah, and before you know it, you'll live in an 8x5 apartment about the same size as a prison cell, and everything that you do will be under close surveillance and scrutiny by some psychopathic, unflinching tyrant at all hours of the day. Okay? Brave New World, George Orwell's 1984, Elysium, all of these sci-fi dystopian surveillance under the radar kind of films. This is the world that is actually being planned for you, and the reason why they put out these films is so that they can prepare you for it. I can say, here and now, I'm not prepared for that. None of us really are. I'll tell you what. Make a decision. You're either prepared to put up with everything until such a time as you are orderly exterminated, or you're not prepared to put up with it, and that you'd rather die on your feet as a free man or woman or child, fighting against that which enslaves you, or you're willing to spend your life on your knees where you are backed ever slowly and cautiously into a corner from which you cannot escape. There is no happiness in that. There is no pursuit of happiness allowed within that system. Unless you are an elite banker and your pursuit of happiness involves kidnapping and drinking the blood of children. All right, basically. They'll be the ones that have fun in that society. It won't be you. It certainly won't be your children that get kidnapped. You know? I just, with Fukushima, the Gulf of Mexico, these two big, massive environmental disasters that were caused by man, you know, like real environmental disasters, that are like killing huge quantities of people with the corrects at 9500 and the cesium-130, whatever. Okay? These are the two things that just kind of make me sit bolt upright in bed one day and just go, you know what? I'm going to stop working. I'm going to start exposing scumbaggery for a living because I'm not prepared to be backed all the way into a corner from which I cannot escape.
I think that that's what a lot of people in this movement get into it for. And at some point, the offers roll in and the accolades are coming. And they know exactly what to say to you. They know that you are insecure about the way you look, so they compliment you. And they know that they know you. They know what to say. They know how to say it. They get you on board. And all of a sudden, you forgot that you were trying to fight a system that you are now part of.
Yep. Hey, hope springs eternal. I know we might be sounding really depressed and angry and what have you, but the reality is, Suzanne and I, when we have our conversations off air and everything, about half of it is just filled with this uproarious laughter. Just how hilarious the system is, you know? How crazy people are. It's a source of entertainment, okay? And again, this is why people should listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Things are bad. Sure, things are bad. There's scumbaggery everywhere. There's evil pieces of trash. But frick, it's funny. We'll see you again sometime, folks, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.